Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Rigid Roosters podcast. My name is Cody. As always, I am sitting here with my beautiful goddess, amazing porn star level hot.
You are overselling
it. I mean, just absolutely fucking beautiful co-host.
Hi, I'm here. I'm Heather. I don't know if I'm all those things, but I am definitely present in his wife.
And dumb. She's also pretty dumb.
Rude. You just
but said it's okay. All those nice things. Because I love her anyways. I'll be sure and get her favorite flavor of crayons before we go to bed, and she'll be fine.
You definitely don't want any of this tonight, do you?
I mean, I really do. So we are coming to you again ahead of time. I am 2 days out from heading back to wonderful, sunny, balmy North Dakota. We're going to try recording ahead of schedule to keep the episodes coming to you every Friday. Hopefully this Friday finds you in a good mood, in a good headspace, in a good place overall. I hope that your jollies are being rocked and you're having a good time. That being said, Heather.
Yeah.
How's your head?
Lord. People are not going to believe that I'm this happy hunky-dory Heather if I keep coming with these check-ins that are like, well, I'm okay.
I mean, to an extent, but we all have.
I know.
We all have bad times, and you want to get those out, right?
Well, and yes, I don't think I was... I'm trying to give myself a little bit more grace with my bad days or my not so great days or like just the blah days, because it was reinforced and reminded today in my therapy session that...
Congratulations, and I'm proud of you for starting therapy.
Well, I've been there, done that already. That'll lead us into... Let me get there, you know? Yeah. I'm good, but things have, we had an incident, a sad one for me, anyway.
Yeah.
Had made a new friend. I mean, we had talked about Sparky, and that had come and gone. Still friendly, but not anything there. Had made a new friend, that one went south with just mean comments about other people, and that, I mean, but that was like 2 days. Well, then I went on a date. I even think we talked about it on the podcast, and he was really sweet, really nice, asked for a second date, but I just wasn't really feeling it. However, the next day I had a different date with somebody new, and we spent like 2 hours cracking up over the stupidest crap and learning about each other over pizza and sharing a calzone and sharing his weird pizza that he got because I wouldn't get anything that's not, you know, regular. that's okay, low key. If you ever take me out for pizza and it's a new place, you're going to have to get the fancy weird stuff because I'm just getting a pepperoni pizza. Because if you can't make a good pepperoni pizza, I don't believe you're going to make a good specialty pizza.
Well, you also have a fear of trying new things, though.
No.
When it comes to food,
okay, 1,000%. I was like, we are in the lifestyle. You cannot even tell me I'm afraid of trying new
things. When it comes to food, you 1,000% have a fear of trying new things.
I just like what I like. And I'm a texture person, man. Okay, you're getting me way off. Squirrel. tism definitely out. Okay, so we had met. It was a good date. It was a couple, we made it a couple months. Wasn't ever like official boyfriend, girlfriend, anything. I mean, it was definitely still situationship. But there was lots of time invested. We both, granted, I'm diagnosed and he's not, but we both have like ADHD tendencies. And you guys know just from listening to the podcast that I can kind of get like lost in my own thoughts and forget where I'm at mid-sentence. I also am really bad about, like, when I'm not working or, like, working at the school with kids or doing anything, running appointments, whatever. I'm not great. I'm fine being by myself, but, like, staying on task isn't always easy. And it was something that we found worked for us. So we would spend, like, for 2 months, it's been, like, 3 hours a day while our kids were in school. He was working and I was cleaning, or I was, you know, subbing or whatever it was, we had a lot of time to connect that way. We didn't get to see each other a whole lot, but when we did, it was awesome. It was great. Yes, you guys, as I'm talking about it, you can tell that it was happy. I mean, it was happy. I don't even want to say until it wasn't, like, because that's kind of how we let it with Numb Nuts from the beginning. It's definitely not that bad. I think it was wrong timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some issues that he's going to have to take on, and in a way, he's a lot like you, where he's stubborn and thinks that he has to do it by himself. And like I've come to realize with you, and even though I hate it, and we will still fuss about it, me trying to be a fixer when that's not what's needed. I feel like some of the crap that he's about to start going through is what led the very surprising end to the story was because of that. But so it happened, but because of it happening, one, it made me realize, and I know I've talked about, you know, our resolutions or whatever, me being me working on how I react and taking time or taking a breath, not reacting so emotionally. Well, there has been my default when somebody says like there is a problem, or that I've not necessarily done something to upset them, but like I might have made them uncomfortable, or I might have said something that did upset them or whatever. If you bring it to me, like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be able to bring it to me and talk it out. And we can, but it's like I freak out first. Or I, like, not freak out because it's not like a bat, but I'm just like, okay, well, then let's not do that. I'll just see you when I see you. Or, like, for instance, this time he's got a big event coming up for work and he was going to be gone for a while. And like the time and consideration he took to explain how busy he was going to be. I don't even know where I'm going with that. It was sad, very sad. But the ending of it also made me realize that I don't think I am all the way or as far or as much as over what's happened what happened last year.
Right.
It brought some issues, like one being the emotional knee jerk, because that was something that had already happened with myself and situationship. And that was my thing. It was like, hey, this is happening. Let's slow down here or whatever. And it was like, okay, you know what? You're right. I'll just see you after you get back and we'll like pick up from there. And I mean it in that way, like, but it's just because I mean it in a way that I'm trying to keep everybody happy. I messed up or I did something or we need to slow down or whatever it is. I'm like, okay, I'll give it to you. But to an extreme that, especially over text message, can be very...
Text tones are really hard to read.
Yeah. Dismissive. You know, like it wasn't a big deal. And that is something that we both struggled with, is taking something the wrong way.
Well, I want to point out something real quick. You said that your default is that reaction, mm-hmm. right? Do you know what another word for default is?
What?
Knee jerk.
Well, yeah.
Right, so your default is your knee jerk. So we got to work on overriding that default and creating a new default, right?
Yes. And that is what started the journey and getting me, I thought, as it was today, had an appointment, and that's, it was, you know, what are you here for? And I just word vomited. And I was like, I don't know, but here, blah, 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 blah. And then she would ask some questions and then I would answer her. And she was like, you're a lot more self-aware than you realize or you're giving yourself credit for. And she was like, but I can definitely see where we need to look at, you know, your anxieties and managing like negative thoughts and like being mean to myself or saying mean things about myself. But then we got into, you know, like parents and families and those dynamics. And she was like, well, I'm going to send you this worksheet because we're going to go all the way back to the drawing board. I was like, oh, hell, I'm crazier than I thought. But no, I'm excited for it. I'm a little nervous. There are, because of the crazy that I did grow up in. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit nervous to unpack some of those things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your brain protects you.
Well, you're nervous because you're scared of what it's gonna dredge up, what's gonna come from it, right? Yes. But that's a perfectly normal thing to feel, you know. Ugh. None of us want to relive any of those traumas, right? But to fully move past them and fully, for lack of a better word, heal from them, you have to, you know.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a good thing for sure.
I know, and I'm super excited about it. She even was like, since your husband's right there, I want to hear what he thinks you need to work on, what he wants to see you, you know, get stronger in. And that it was him being the one that was definitely the negative self-talk and getting down on myself. And that was his big mention.
I just want you to quit being so fucking mean to yourself.
I'm really not that mean.
Yeah, you are.
Anywho. So there was that. So there we go. Back to just kicking it. Hanging out with, just being friendly. In the corniest ways, that is truly me. Cody, I've already told you this. I hope the door is... it's not a locked door that with a situationship. It's not closed forever. I hope that with time, for me to grow and mature in different things that I need, but also for him to get through some of the crap that he's about to start going through. Mm-hmm. I do hope to see a return. Whether it be just a friendly one, or even just a more friends with benefit-y one. I hope we can come back to that. Because, I mean, he's a good dude. And you know my love language is laughing. You know that's how you've kept me these 14 years. Mm-hmm. You know that's how you got me in the first place. Situationship boy fucking made me laugh.
Yeah.
So, that was sad. But life is sad, and that's okay.
You seem to be doing much better today, though, especially than you were yesterday.
Yes, yesterday was awful. Yesterday was the bad day, but I also got to go with one of my besties and get our nipples pierced, so there was some therapy time in that, and just getting to do it as with your girlfriend. You know, it's a fun bonding thing, and it did help get me out of my head. It's something I've been wanting to do, but I've been kind of chicken to do it. And it was just yesterday. I was like, nope, I need something. I need something to just lift my spirits a little bit. So got those done. So for the friends that have seen them, you're welcome. I love them. Can't wait to put like these big giant sparkly diamond cagey things on them that I found. I'm super pumped for it. Cody is also super pumped for it.
I'm very excited for it. Yes.
Oh my god, my check-in has been so long. I'm so sorry. I feel like it's been a lot. That happened. Yesterday was bad. I mean, just all day. Oh my gosh. Even so bad. But Cody had to leave a cart because somebody was being mean to my friend. She spilled her drink. She dropped her cup and it spilled.
It was total accident.
Total fucking accident. And there was a worker there, and I turned and I was like, I'm so sorry, my friend dropped her drink. And she looked at it and she like audibly groaned, ugh. And my friend was like, I'm so sorry. Because she was. And she was like, it still lights me on fire. She goes, well, what's that going to do for me? Oh, my God. I turned away. I was like, I just turned away. I was like, we're leaving. They can clean up the mess by themselves. And Cody was like, what's happening? And I heard our friend say, I'm sorry again. And I was already seeing red. But then I was like, no, this is not happening. So I know I stopped walking, turned around, because I was like, I'm going to go tell that lady that there was no reason for her to come after my friend like that when it was an accident. Like, don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch, man.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Especially when it's just for the sake of being a bitch.
Yes. But it was enough to alert Cody to push the cart towards our friend and him follow me because I was on a mission.
She was on the warpath.
There, yeah, it was all the feels, man. The feels of sad and heartbreak and even just losing like the friendly parts of what I had gotten there with that person. All of those feels plus the admitting of what really, I guess, spurred us into me getting a therapist and getting it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And that being missing the life that was before. Not so much the person, but the life that we had created within that.
Yeah.
So when I finally let Cody in, like when I finally, I let it all out, the dam burst, Cody caught me. I am sad for those things that I'm losing with situationship, but it also brought to light that maybe. I'm not going to have that experience that we shared with that person. I'm never going to have that again, ever. As much as I loved it, obviously not how it ended, obviously not being lied to and played and duped the whole thing, but the rest of it, the family parts of it, the living together, because of what happened, because of how bad that affected my mental health, even yours, because of it being a friendship brotherhood thing that was done, but fucking with my kids, never ever will I let that happen again.
Well, and when she says that, I want everybody to be clear, it was, he had, basically he was trying to mess things up for the kids. It wasn't anything where he ever touch the kids or anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that.
No.
It would be an entirely different podcast if that was the case, because I would be in prison right now.
I was about to say, we probably wouldn't even have one because we'd be gone or in jail. But no.
Just because you won't have that exact situation again doesn't mean you won't find something just as good.
I know. And I'm coming to terms with, I mean, like, I know that rationally. Okay. I know we've talked about me having a rational brain and then my emotional brain and then the knee-jerk stuff. The situationship gave me confidence that I can find it again. Like, it's not going to be, not hard. I don't want to make it seem like it was just like some hunky-dory easy thing to do. But, like, it's not lost to me having that connection with somebody else. Because it's a part of who I am.
Right.
Shoot, I lost my train of thought there. My edible's starting to kick in. I can feel it. Like, I can feel it hitting. What was the last thing I just said?
That it's not necessarily hard to find that connection.
Oh, that's what it... Oh, so what ending is taught me that it's not lost to me. The experience of being poly and having a good experience and enjoying why we're in the lifestyle isn't it's not gone to me forever.
Well, that's an excellent kind of segue into our topic today. You know, a question that we get a lot is, okay, you've experienced this. Why do you continue to experience? Why do you keep doing this, right?
Yeah.
If it's something that we've tried out and we've had fun, why do we keep doing it, right? So I guess my question to you, I want to answer this individually, and then we can kind of answer as a couple, I guess. Why would we stay in the lifestyle? Why would we continue to pursue
that? Well, and that also plays, I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but everybody has to keep in mind and take into account too, when we're talking, you're poly by association, you're not poly yourself.
Right.
So how you take what, like, I'm going to be talking, like, how you're asking me is going to be vastly different than how you're going to answer it.
Well, and that's why I'm saying we'll answer it individually. Okay. Right? Because our answers are going to be different.
Correct. You know?
The question for both of us is different, right? Because you've had the relationships and you've had these romantic and strong feelings outside of me. Mm-hmm. And I have had sexual encounters outside of you. Right, so we've both had these experiences in the lifestyle, and the question that I get a lot is, okay, you've tried it, now why wouldn't you stop? Why wouldn't you just go back to just being the two of you, you know? And I think it's important that we answer that. We give people our reasoning for continuing in this, because it's the same. I have a feeling our answers are going to be the same as a lot of people in the lifestyle. Now, again, you know, this is not advice. This mm-hmm. is not
just
this
our experience.
This is just our experience, and this is our why.
This, yeah, exactly. I like that you said that. This is our why.
So why for you would you continue in the lifestyle? Especially because yours carries a lot more pain than mine does. You know what I mean?
But it also carries a lot of love.
Yeah.
And in the corniest of ways, I am love.
Yeah.
That's why I'm poly.
Yeah.
And you're like, Heather, that doesn't make sense to anybody else. Well, you're right. I know it doesn't. I just kicked it. Sorry. Totally just kicked the crap out of it. Y'all, I mean, that's a hard question to answer.
Yeah. Because
you're right. I'm the relationship that ended and that has had me so wrecked and is still creeping up with issues that I have to that I'm learning that I haven't gotten over. I don't want to experience that pain again, man. Like that sucked. But I also cried for the loss of the love and family and unit we had built mm-hmm. together. So I think I almost miss that more than the hurt itself. You know what I'm saying? Or like, I love that part of it more than
the love outweighs the hurt. Yes. Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So, but even feeling that pain, you would want to experience it again?
I want to experience life and feeling and emotions. For me, that comes in making different connections with people or individuals. And that's not always sexual. We learned some new terms today that I'm going to say here, but I'm just saying so that maybe it puts it on y'all's radars too. But I need to look some more into it. I need to research it before I'm like, oh, this is what we're going to be, or oh, this is what we're going to try, or oh, this is the label we're going with, or whatever. But, so we were tabletop, or kitchen top.
Tabletop.
Tabletop polyamory. Well, I know, but it's like KTP sometimes, so kitchen table polyamory. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I loved it, but it's not an experience we will repeat. The other one was garden party polyamory. And the difference there. So, okay, I guess tabletop is where you see each other. Like, it's a daily thing. Not a daily thing. It's a more often thing. You see them. You're involved with them. You know about their emotions. You do check-ins.
It's more constant and involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then the garden party is where, for instance, using the situationship, okay? He has his own separate home. He's got his own business.
He's got his own life.
He's got his own life. You know, he's a kid, everything. Like, so we will get to share, we would get to share, like, I would share a part of that, of his life, But I don't like parallel play where I have two separate lives. So the garden party one is where it would be like you were acquaintances. Like you guys might talk every now and then, mm-hmm. or you might react with each other like on social platforms, but you'd see each other like at big events or birth special events, holidays, you know, like it wasn't. He's not your best friend.
Yeah.
He wasn't
and
your brother.
The reason for that is I think that she knows that I can't go through another friend doing what the last one did. Because I went from loving someone to immediately wanting to put them in the ground. And that fucked with me for a long time, you know. And it
still does.
It's not healthy for mm-hmm. me to go through that again. So I want no part of that. So, and that's why she brings that up. You know, it's not that I don't want to be involved in her life and I don't want to be involved in, you know, what makes her happy. But the difference is I'm trying to watch out for my own mental health as well.
And as well as I have a care to it because yeah. of your not being
right
a poly man.
Yeah. And she actually picked up on it before I did. And, you know, it's important to both of us that I stay sane, you know, and,
but it's also important to me. And that's where the compromise comes is that I have friends that do parallel play and it works for them and that's great. But because of my mentality being, it takes a village in so many other ways than just romantic or sexual that I want my people to know each other. Like,
well, in the garden party thing, you know, you can think of it as, you know, think of it as just that, a party, right? Mm-hmm. So we'd see each other at celebrations, you know, big events, things like that. But it wouldn't be us constantly intertwined in each other's lives. Yes. And I think that's a good thing because a man's house is his castle, right? I need my castle. I need my home. I need my life that's separate Correct. From anybody else's, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that there's a lot of issues that I had with the last setup that we had that I haven't gotten into because, I mean, I just haven't addressed them myself. You know what I mean? So,
and that's something else. Another reason is it makes us self-reflect. And I think that's the biggest part, well, of being human anyway, but especially of keeping true to yourself in a lifestyle like ours, is you have to keep checking in with yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to be aware of what you're doing and what you're putting out if you're going to be successful in this. Yeah. So, like I've said before, we didn't get into the lifestyle because there were problems with us. We got into it because we were interested and then it was like a good fit and then it kept going and our communication levels grew even better. Our foundation grew stronger. I mean, like, it brought us closer together, opening up our relationship, opening up our marriage to enjoy others. And the intimacy that has brought us just emotionally is reward enough for me to want to keep that going.
Yeah.
Did I sound totally reward. Grown up and intellectual right you there? Totally did. I totally did. You're welcome.
Well, you know, both of our kind of knee-jerk things is whenever something bad happens, the first question or the first statement that I always say to her is, hey, the minute that you want to step back, say it, and we will. You know,
which irritates me, but
I know it's your knee jerk. But
it's your knee jerk thing
to you. It's my go-to to say, to let you know, one, that I'm here for you, and two, you are the most important thing in the world to me. Right? Yes. The lifestyle has become very important to me. It is something.
I mean, it's a part of who we are. Yeah, now.
It's something that I identify with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, should we ever decide to step back, I think it would be easy. You know what I mean? I think that we could both, I know that I could just hit the brakes and be done. I don't want to do that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I agree with you to a point. If I were not in another relationship.
Yeah.
Where I could just do that.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we could pull back, but because of what I want, because of what I am in the lifestyle, I wouldn't be able to just, because that wouldn't be fair to the other person.
Right.
Just like you said last week or a couple weeks ago about it finally clicking for me because it wasn't fair to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't give them their time. You couldn't give them all of you, and that wasn't fair. Like, that really resonated with me. I guess resonated, but it made it go like, oh. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't. It is an insecure. It is something within me that I need to figure out where this worry is coming from.
Right.
Versus it being like a you thing or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, my reasoning is a lot kind of the same as yours. You know, you mentioned a while ago wanting to live life and mm-hmm. wanting to experience life and everything it has to offer. We were not put on this planet to pay bills and die.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what your religion is. You have to know that. We weren't put here just to pay bills, raise babies, and die. That can't be all that life is. If that is all that life is, then why is it worth living, right? So, in my opinion, I want to live life to the fullest. I want to experience all the things, except skydiving. I will never do that.
Oh, I'm so good at sky. I can't wait.
But
8 more years.
You know, we have these amazing experiences that we tried, you know, that we decided as a couple to branch out and try this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. And it's done so much good for us, you know. You know, Heather has described, you know, wanting to feel all the love and everything like that. I get that in a different way, right? I get all of the amazing friendships that we've made mm-hmm. along the way. You know, I have people that I talk to every single day that yep. we would never have met if we were not in the lifestyle. And on top of that, I'm an extremely hypersexual person. I love sex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I can experience that with as many people as possible, that's fucking great.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? I mean, you know, I have guys, especially all the time, tell me, man, you're the luckiest guy in the world. Well, I feel like it a lot of the times, you know, mm-hmm. because you are fully supportive of us in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I find some hot woman that I want to take to bed and, you know, pin her ankles behind her ears and yeah. show her a good time, you're on board with it.
Yeah.
And just knowing that, it makes me feel closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel like we are secure in our relationship. And I know we still would be if we were not in the lifestyle.
Sure.
But then I look at it as...
But then we would be missing... We would be taking out a part of our life that we love. And yeah. that's not what... We're all about love.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's how... love and being kind and... We preach about that every day to our children, to our honorary kids. Like, don't be a dick. I mean, like, yeah. that's our, you know, find your love, find your silver linings, find, but yeah, no, I obviously don't see into the future. I can't see into the future. So I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. I don't know about any other, you know, I have a friend that I care about and cares about me. Another situationship, but not either, you know,
yeah.
you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Having those, I don't know, having those, I love love. I am love. You said it before. And like you said it today before we started, I struggle with negative things about myself. Comes from a lot of years of being told a lot of the things that I have in my head, you know, by people that were supposed to love and care for me. So, yeah.
And I hate that for you.
I know, but that's also another reason why I am me is I don't want anybody to ever leave my presence,
feeling like they weren't loved or weren't welcomed.
Yeah, that they weren't welcome.
Yeah.
That they weren't wanted.
And that's a big thing we have in our house is we want everybody that comes over here to know that they are welcome mm-hmm. and that they are supported.
And once you
here.
Get to like, I don't want to say like a level, but you know, I don't have a better word for it. Once you're in with us, and it's not like we have a test. It's not like there's something we have a checklist for that all of a sudden you're in as family, but
be good people.
Once you're there, we've got like 6 keys cut for different friends that can come over at any point in time. Are they also like me and you and will never ever show up unannounced? Yes, 100%.
Does one of them still ask if she can come over every
time?
Do
3 of them that come over all the time and have sleepovers, like friendly girl sleepers, not even like just like sexy times, like actual best friend sleepovers that practically live here, that have a closet in my home.
Hey, can I come over?
Is it okay if I come tonight?
Yes, dumbass. Come on.
Get over here. Why aren't you there already? You know, you have a key.
That's how you'll know if you've made it with us, is if we call you dumbass in a loving way. You've made it.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're not roasting you or being funny in that way,
yeah,
we either are uncomfortable, don't know you, or we're not going to be friends. Like, you know. And I made this it's so weird. I don't know what it was. COVID changed everything. You know, like it did in so many bad ways, whatever. But there are some things that, like, for us, it made us slow down. It's about the time we started researching and getting into the lifestyle and learning about this stuff.
I think we had decided to kind of start dabbling our toes in it the year before.
Yes. I think it was the cruise and stuff. So like 3 or 4 months.
It was that cruise before then. And then during COVID was when you came to me, and because I had just gone back to work down in Texas, mm-hmm. and you had come to me and said, you know, I think I need more than just the sex. I think I need something
which
else.
Is a super scary thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's something else we can talk about, too. Maybe a different episode or different. Yeah. That was a scary conversation to have.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of me, yeah.
You know, I mean,
I
know.
Yeah. We'll have
so a... That's a good one, too.
We'll have another episode on that for sure. That may be the next one that we record. But, you know, that was about that time. And it I think you're right. I mean, COVID changed the world. I mean, it changed our culture.
Yeah.
In the United States. And one thing that you'll notice is, and that's, you know, everybody out there listening, if you'll watch, the alternative lifestyle, if you will, is not so alternative anymore. It's become way more mainstream. And I think I mentioned this on, you know, I think it was last week's, but the amount of people in this lifestyle is staggering. You know, we're not much the minority anymore, you know.
Being out, though, we are.
Being out, we are. But as far as being in the lifestyle, we're not very...
No,
not
you're
very
right. You're right. There's minority. Definitely people that... Everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I think it made a lot of people realize that you know, these traditional values and everything, they're not... I understand people wanting to hold on to tradition and wanting to hold on to values and things like that. And some of those things that taught...
We are not saying monogamy is bad that it's not a good thing for anybody.
Well, like I just said, I understand it.
Okay. You know, I just wanted to make sure we're not like bashing it. That's not what we're trying to say.
No. We understand it and I totally get it. You know, traditions are important. You know, your values are very important. But it also takes an amazing amount of self-awareness and sense of adventure to be able to challenge those and to be able to say, hey, I want to try something outside of my norm. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that a lot of people, especially in the United States, but that's because, you know, that's all that I can see, is they're starting to step out of that. And that's, I don't know, to me, that's cool. That represents a really cool culture shift to me.
Yeah.
It represents a group of people that, you know, maybe they do have those more traditional values, but now they're going to be more accepting of other people, right? Or maybe they had those traditional values and now they're seeing, hey, you know, maybe life outside of this isn't so bad. And I don't know. I think it's cool. So I think we've both answered pretty well our individual reasons for wanting to stay in the lifestyle. Another question that I get pretty often is, what are your goals, right? What do you hope to get out of the lifestyle?
Well, and that was a tough one too, because I remember somebody asking that to us I think right after we had moved in, our the third, like, what are the plans here? Like,
yeah, what do you hope to accomplish? What's your end game?
Yeah,
that's one. What's your end game?
And it's hard. I mean, life is so short. I don't know. I don't know when my end game is. So
my response to that question is always, we've already got it. Right, what we hope to get out of the lifestyle, we've already got it, because our relationship is so much stronger. We are so much more secure in one another. The thing is, we want to keep getting it, right? We want to continue growing together and learning about each other, and we want to continue having these experiences with other people or without other people.
Yeah,
we want to continue that growth that the lifestyle gave us. And as far as end game, why have an end game?
Yeah, I guess that's where I was trying to go with it. You don't know. I don't know when my end game is going to be.
Yeah, like I'm all for making plans.
YOLO. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm all for making plans and preparing for the future. That's great. But why have an end game? And that's another label.
Why have your life so rigidly structured that?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. You don't. Nobody knows when.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You have to be willing to roll with change, right? Because if you're not, you're going to get left behind. So why set things up to be so rigid and not able to roll with change? You know, I don't have an end game. I hope that I am prepared for whenever I finally go back to dirt, and I hope that, you know, my family is prepared for that.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be anytime soon.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
And I'm not going to sit. I don't want to sit and worry about it being anytime soon.
Yeah.
That's not a life to live either.
Yeah. And I want to continue living this amazing life with you until I do get kicked back in the dirt, you know?
Yeah.
And that's my end game. I want to keep living life until I can't live life anymore.
End game. Happy.
Yeah. Happy. That's it.
Full of life. I mean, I don't. You're so right. I'm just, we've talked about this too. I over explain. Like, I will say what it is. You'll get it. But then I'm like, oh, you don't get what I'm talking about. So I go again.
Yeah.
And then I explain a little further. And then it starts getting muddled. Or you start getting annoyed because you know what I'm talking about.
That's why I've been trying to get better at telling you, I get it. I got you, babe.
I know. But but see, that's where the knee-jerk thing comes, because then sometimes I'm like, oh, you don't want to hear me talk. Like, or, oh, I need to be quiet. Or, oh, I've already talked about
it. No, it's because I can tell whenever you get into those over-explanation things. And that's when I need to say, okay, I got you.
But exactly. Here's another intellectual Heather moment. Ding!
We need to get a soundboard with a bell on it.
So I know. there are so many fun sounds I could do. Was that... talked about different things in childhood, so we've already established it was rough, but I was likely invalidated so often or not listened to, so I've had to repeat myself so often that I learned that it's a core belief that was instilled in me, and now it's something I suffer with.
Yeah.
And I say core belief all funny like that because it was the therapy word that was used. She was like, do you know what that is? And I was like, well, yeah, one of my, you know, a core belief that I have is to live life in love and be kind, you know? And she was like, that's great. But in counseling, it's actually meaning about like how, what your beliefs that formed when you were a child or that when you were growing up, significant things that have formed you that, and she was like, are not ever going to change. And so I kind of like, I was kind of thrown for that because I was like, well, then what the fuck are we doing therapy for? Why am I paying for this shit? You know, if there's nothing I can do to help better. And she was like, but then she, you know, she continued because there's my brain spiraling and anxiety being like, well, if I can't get better, or, you know, like if I'm stuck in this, if I'm stuck with these beliefs, or if I'm stuck having this anxiety, why am I still doing this? And she was like, you're always going to have them, but we're going to give you the tools to help you
manage them.
Mm-hmm. We're going to throw you a life jacket to help you get through it, you know? And she was like, because you're, she was like, life, she said, even being happy, even, you know, life isn't perfect. You're going to have these feelings. These things are going to happen. You're going to be triggered. And she was like, and it's going to default to your core beliefs. But then that's where we have to come in and be like, okay, yes, but
yeah,
this. So there you go. Intellectual moment.
I like it. Well, and you know, she's absolutely right. Those core beliefs are something that never go away. You know, you told me that a while ago and I got to thinking about some of mine, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a man raised in small town Oklahoma, you know, I have my own, and that can even go for like certain prejudices that you have. Your own, you know, unintentional things that you think that you're trying to move past, right? That you're trying to unlearn. And one of the things that your therapist said was that you'll never unlearn those. And I thought that was pretty powerful. You'll never unlearn those, but you can manage them.
Yes.
And, you know, that's...
And that rocked both of us. And, like, yeah.
That's something that, you know, that I already try to do, because I want to be open, and I want to be inclusive, and I want people to know that they are loved.
Yes.
But I've told you, you know, there comes a point where I can't do the shutting things down just to be inclusive. I don't, when we were talking about the mommy and me dance the other day.
Oh, where, yes.
You know, that's, I draw the line at extremism, right? I can't get behind that.
Yeah, I just miss my dance, my baby.
But, you know, as far as, you know, wanting people to feel included, you know, I get it. But then there are some times where, you know, I'll catch myself and I'll look at somebody and immediately think, oh, that person must be, you know, a little wild or something, mm-hmm. like that. There's a character or something like that. And I catch myself thinking that. I'm like, wait, I don't need to be doing that.
Yep.
I don't need to be judging this person based on how they look. Yes. 'Cause they could be an awesome individual.
Exactly.
I'm going to that default prejudice where I see that and
your,
I'm like,
default core, yeah, belief. Yeah. I know. It's wild to have a word to it now, because like what you just said is like, okay, say what you just said again so I can have my moment, because so I forgot it.
I'll have that prejudice and then I'll say, wait a minute, I can't be doing that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I can't remember if it was like a Cosmo article or it was something when I was younger, but shit, say it one more time. Say what you said again.
I'm sure the listeners are going to love to hear it again. I'll have that prejudice and then I'll say, wait a minute, can't do it again.
Is your first, the thought that you have, I forgot, God, now that I'm thinking, I know what the quote is and I'm going to go find it and I'm going to talk about it next time. But like, it's more or less like the first thought you have is what you've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
What comes out of your mouth is what you've chosen to learn, or yeah, whatever, or you've chosen to manage.
Yeah.
And like, it is exactly what she said today and about the core beliefs and having like a term for that. But that happened when I was like in my teenage years. And it was just like, whoa. And then having it, I guess, whoa moment again, because I'm mid 30s, you know, like, I don't know. It was just, I'm really excited to be on the journey to figuring out some crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also scared. Yeah. I'm also really nervous though.
Well, I think we've done really good about answering these questions, and you know, long story short, just to kind of recap everything, individually, we both are definitely looking for different things and exactly the same thing, mm-hmm. in the lifestyle, right? We both are continuing in that for those reasons. As a couple, why do we continue and what are we hoping to get out of it? It's because we love it. You know, we really do. It's a part of us.
And it's an experience that keeps us together.
It keeps us together and it keeps us young.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know,
I never want to grow up.
Yeah. And as far as end game goes, happy. And that's it. So, I hope that we answered your questions, those of you that have been asking. If not, then reach out and maybe we can expound a little bit further. Yeah, we'll over-explain a little bit. But
don't worry about thinking you're going to over-explain. I do it all the time. So, Cody will read it and be like, oh, I'm going to pass this on to Heather. She will understand it a lot better because it is turning circles. And then the boring ones I'll give to Cody because they're all smarticle and lame.
I don't like all the boring ones.
Well.
I don't just want boring shit. But, all right, well, we are getting close to time here. Do you have anything else that you would like to leave our lovely listeners with?
Just a reminder that everybody is going through something.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't be a dick.
Yeah. I'll leave you with, I talked to a doctor, and he said that I'm dying, and the only cure is for me to see boobs.
You're an idiot.
Please get on Facebook or Instagram. Yes, please, that helps. Get on Facebook or Instagram and send those to me. The link is in the description for this episode. With that, love yourselves, because we love you. Okay, thanks.
Bye!